For our text, please turn to Galatians chapter 5, the epistle of Paul to the Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and let me read for you verse 16 through 24. Galatians 5, 16 through 24. And the topic of my sermon this morning is flesh versus spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 24. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ, or they that are Christ, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on Reformation Sunday, a sermon emphasizing that it is faith alone that saves, not works. It is faith, it is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ alone that saves us from our sins, that have gained for us eternal life, not works. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. We know this well. But please understand that once we are saved and our sins are forgiven, it does not mean that we have the license to live our life the way we want, to sin all we like, to disobey the commands and the laws of God. We are not saved to disobey God. We are saved to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. So good works are important. Please don't think that since we are not saved by our own works, therefore good works are not important. Good works are important, and our life must manifest good works and obedience to God's commandments, to God's laws, His rules, His precepts are found in the Holy Scriptures. And that's why Paul in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 did not just stop there talking about grace and faith in our salvation, that is a gift of God. He went on to say in verse 10, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul said, "For we are His workmanship, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And so, are we living such a life? Is our life characterized by good works? Are we like the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we walking in His way? Is our life transformed? Now, this we must examine. We must examine our own hearts, our own lives. How can we be sure that we are truly born again? How can we be 100% sure that we are children of God, citizens of heaven? We are on our way towards heaven. We will one day end up in heaven. How can we be sure? This is one question we want to ask and find an answer from the scriptures today. Now, sometimes when we live our life here on earth, all of us here, I hope, have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we profess faith in Christ, are there times when we doubt our salvation, that we are truly believers, that we are on our way to heaven, that we are children of God? Do we doubt our salvation? And sometimes we do doubt our salvation, don't we? Especially in times when we fall into sin, in times when we have broken God's commandments, when we struggle with the flesh. So how can we tell for sure that we are saved, our sins are forgiven, we are children of God, and we are citizens of heaven? How? Over here in Galatians chapter 5, Paul tells us how. We must do a spiritual checkup of our lives. How long have we been a Christian already? Some of us have just been converted, maybe a year ago or a couple of years ago. Do we see a change in our lives, in our attitude? Do we know the meaning of life? Some of us may have been Christians longer than that, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50, 60 years. Let us look back. Is there a difference in our life from the time we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ until now? Is there a change? Or are we still the same? No different. Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Or are we living like the world? We are in the world, no doubt. But the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, we are not to be off the world. And so over here in Galatians chapter 5, it tells us what we must be characterized by. If we are still in our sin, if we are still dead in our sin, not truly believers, although we may claim or profess faith, there are those who are false believers. We know that. Jesus fed the 5,000 with miracle bread, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They saw the miracles, they followed him, they became disciples. But then when Jesus said, I will not give you free food every day, I just want you to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that you might live forever. And of course, Jesus was speaking spiritually, the spiritual partaking of what he would do for us. He will give his body to be crucified and to be sacrificed for our sins, shedding his precious blood, and how he would also be raised from the dead. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and how his resurrection proves that he is truly God and our Savior. He wants us to eat of him spiritually, believing in him. And when Jesus told them, it is not the physical bread that is important, but the spiritual, they all left him. They all departed from him. And they were called disciples. And of course, these are false disciples, not true. And then he turned to the 12. Will you also depart and leave me? And then Peter gave a very good answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now that is an A+ answer. Are we here because of this? Because we have heard the wonderful words of eternal life from our Savior and have kowtowed to him and believed on him, and that we are living for him as he lives with us and lives also within us. But Jesus says, I know one of you will betray me, the son of perdition.
So only 11, the Lord knew, only the 11 were saved. Judas was not. Are we like the false disciples? Are we like Judas Iscariot? I pray not. Let us examine ourselves. What should we be characterized by in our life? And here we are told that if we are truly believers, we should not be characterized by the flesh. Right? And what are the characteristics of the flesh? Now here in verses 19 to 21 of Galatians chapter 5, we read, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." And here we have 15 vices, and these 15 vices that characterize the flesh can be broken down into three main categories. And these are the characteristics of unbelievers. And we should be familiar with them, because once upon a time we lived like this, haven't we? And first we find the first category. These are the sexual sins, namely adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness or lustfulness. These are sexual sins. Have we not been plagued by such sexual sins in the past? In our life that is so sinful, when we were living in our sins, we were dead in our sins, and could not but commit all these things. And I don't have to describe the kinds of sexual sins that are out there. We know them very well. We are experts in committing such sins. We are totally corrupted and depraved people, born in sin. And we live in sin in times past. I pray we do not live like this today. All kinds of sexual sins. Our lives should not be characterized by extramarital sex, premarital sex, pornography, homosexuality, prostitution. All these things should not be found in our lives. These things are found in the world. Those who are without the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no strength to overcome all such sins, they indulge, they even enjoy doing all these things. Do we? We should not be characterized by such things. If we are, what does Paul say here? Paul says, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That means you are still lost, not saved. You cannot even step into heaven because it is such a holy place. And God says, "You must be holy as I am holy." Are we characterized by all these things? Or have we been forgiven and our lives so changed we do not desire and enjoy doing such things? Are we characterized by the flesh, by such sexual sins of the flesh? What else? In verse 20, we read of religious sins, namely idolatry and witchcraft. Idolatry and witchcraft. These are religious sins. You see, a Christian cannot say, and a Christian will not say, "You know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I also believe in other gods. The more the merrier. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I also believe in other gods so that I can feel safer." Right? No, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, "I also believe in other gods," then you have not truly known the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not truly known the way of salvation. For Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto God the Father but by me." And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it is very clearly stated, there is but one God, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You must only believe in Him and Him alone, for He is the only one who has died for your sins. No one else has died for your sins or my sins. No one has been sinless. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God Himself, became man. And as fully God and fully man in one person, a unique person, He died for us on the cross. No one can do such a thing to save us, to be our representative, to be our substitute, to die on the cross for us. Only Jesus could have done that, who was God and who became man. And as the God-man, He died for us and rose from the dead. Who else rose from the dead? No one else rose from the dead but the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, we who believe in Him will also be raised up on the last day. He is the resurrection and the life. No other. If you truly have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not and cannot say, I believe also in other gods, for there is no other God but one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Holy Scriptures, the living and true God. But we may not be following other gods, but there's another kind of God. What is the Singaporean idol? The Singapore idol is materialism. It's money. The dollar sign. Do we love money? Are we worshipping money? Do we think of money day in and day out? Right now in the sanctuary, are we focusing and concentrating on God and His Word? Or are we thinking of cash and card and career and things that are out there in the world? How I can make more money for myself, and how you regret being here because on Sunday I can do business. Do you think like this? Do you feel like this? Then we better check our own hearts. Does Jesus Christ truly indwell us? Do we really have the Holy Spirit? What are our desires? And Jesus had already clearly stated in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And so the Lord Jesus Christ must hold first place in our life. Yes, we do have our jobs. We thank God that we have work to do and we work for our living. But the material things must not occupy, must not take center stage in our lives. It's a means only towards an end. And the end would be to glorify God in all that we do, and then to enjoy Him forever. Was that the purpose in your life? The purpose in your life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever in all that we do. And if that is your desire in your heart, in your life, that is your philosophy of life, that's a good sign. It's a good sign. And you're not going to be characterized by worldly thinking or fleshly thinking, but by godly and spiritual thinking. God is first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then you have the third category of fleshly sins here, and that is worldly sins. And here in verse 20, the second part, and verse 21, we read of hatred, variance. Variance is quarreling, all right, or contentions, emulations, there's jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies, what are heresies? Heresies, any and every teaching that causes you to depart from the Lord Jesus Christ, to tear you away from Christ, and to tear you away from His words, right? These are heresies, false teachings. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, all right, immoral partings, and such like. So these are the worldly sins. Worldly people are characterized by all these things. The sins of worldliness. There's no such thing as a worldly Christian. A Christian should not be worldly. And here, all these things, the worldly sins, basically stem from selfish attitudes and activities. Right? It's all about I, me, myself. I don't care for others. This is the worldly behavior, a selfish attitude, or the way of life that we find in the world today. It's all me, myself, survival of the fittest. Right? And so this will not only bring hurt and harm to oneself, but also to others. It is a destructive kind of life. Not the way of life, but the way of death. The way of Christ is the way of life. But here you find the way of death. All these things, they're done here. And it's a life that is characterized by only love for self and hatred for others. Are we characterized by these things? We only love ourselves and we have only hatred for others. And then we make use of others. We exploit others. We take advantage of others for our own good. Right? For our own profit. We seek to gratify ourselves. The love of self and hatred for others. This is the kind of a philosophy that worldly people would have. And if we think and feel and behave like this, then Paul makes it very clear. We are not citizens of God's kingdom, not citizens of heaven. And we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For those of us who are Christians, truly born again, washed by the precious blood of Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, understanding God's word, we will not be characterized by these things. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we do not walk in the flesh. We will not walk in the flesh. How can we tell whether we are truly believers or not? By our conduct, by our behavior. And just like how can you tell, you know, between these two animals, a pig and a sheep? Well, you can tell by the way they behave. A pig will behave like a pig. A pig likes to, you know, wallow in the mud, in the dirt. And then the sheep loves to graze on green pastures. So they behave differently. You can tell them. A pig will have the characteristics of a pig. And a sheep will have characteristics of the sheep. And they are not confused. And we can tell them very clearly. We can distinguish between them. So we are in the world. Those who are saints and those who are sinners. Those who are believers and those who are not. Can people tell that we are truly children of God and not children of the devil? They should be able to tell. We who have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, washed and cleansed, we are like sheep. We are no longer pigs. Once upon a time, we were like pigs and behaved and spoke and lived like pigs. But now, washed by the blood of Christ, born again, born into God's family, indwelt by the Spirit, we have been changed. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are a new creature, a new creation. And so we don't behave like pigs. We behave like sheep. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ-like. There's this difference that we not only can see in our lives, others should also be able to see it and notice it. Although it is true that the sinful nature is still within us, although we are saved, yes, there is this sinful nature that is still within us, not uprooted yet. It will only be totally removed when the Lord Jesus returns, when we get to heaven. And we in our lives do struggle with sin, don't we? I do. We are faced with all kinds of temptations. And sometimes, now and then, we do fall into temptation. We do sin against the Lord. But then what's the difference? See, when we sin against the Lord, we are not happy at all. We are very sorry for breaking God's commandments, for not walking this way, for not obeying the Lord. And this will be our heartfelt, attitude. This will be our feeling. And there's a great desire to want to repent. Lord, I don't want to do this. You see? And then we will confess our sins. The Spirit within us will convict us of our sins, and we will confess our sins, and there's also a desire to change our ways, to repent, and to seek the Lord's help. Lord, help me to change. Help me to obey your laws, your commandments, to live like Christ. Right? And then, of course, when we confess our sins, the Lord had promised. He is faithful and just, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then as we continue to study and read and understand God's word, then the word of God will cleanse us, sanctify us, make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That the desires of the world will grow dimmer and dimmer, and then the desires for heaven and for spiritual things will grow brighter and brighter. All right? This must be our experience. If we are filled with the Spirit, we are indwelt by the Spirit, we will be filled with such a desire, a holy desire. As we struggle with sin in our lives, we will not take a delight in sin, we will not enjoy sin, we hate sin. Do we experience such a struggle in our lives? And if this is the kind of struggle that we have, it's a good struggle. It shows that we are alive in Christ. The Holy Spirit in us, fighting against the principle of sin, all right, within us. If we are dead in sin, then there'll be no fight, because we don't have the strength and energy, right, to combat all these things. But when we are alive in Christ, and the law of God is imprinted in our hearts, there'll be this constant tension and struggle and battle. And we will find, when we walk in the Spirit, we will find ourselves having the grace and the strength to overcome all these things, so that these things, these characteristics of the flesh, do not become a feature, a pattern in our lives. All right? So please understand this. We will not, in other words, we will not habitually and happily commit all these things in our life. Yes, now and then we do fall into sin. But then we are mightily unhappy with ourselves. We seek to punish ourselves, repent of our sins, and then with God's help walk in a straight way again. You see, that must be our desire. For we are created unto good works. And do we find these good works in our life or not? And if we do have such a desire, then there's one evidence that we are children of God. Okay. And then positively, what must our life be characterized by? We must bear the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. If we are indwelt by the Spirit is not sleeping within us. The Spirit is very active to change us and cause us to bear all these spiritual qualities in our life, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Just like what we read in John chapter 15 just now, Jesus said, now ye are clean. Okay, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, then you are clean. Through the word which I have spoken to you, you have heard the gospel, you have believed, and you have been cleansed, justified by faith. You are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Now abide in me, And the word abide here is not only a commandment, it tells us that we must keep on abiding. It's not just a one-time act. It must be a continuous act on our part. Keep on abiding. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So we must bear that fruit, and the Holy Spirit will automatically help us bear the fruit in our lives. Right? So how can we tell we are truly saved? Well, let's do a spiritual checkup. Do we find all these spiritual qualities in our life? Do we bear the fruit of the Spirit? And what are these characteristics? Now, verses 22 and 23 tell us. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So there are 9 characteristics here, and they can be divided into two categories, two groups. Right? Firstly, you have the foundational graces. The foundational graces. Love, joy, and peace. These are the fundamental spiritual qualities that all Christians should possess. Right? They are basic. Right? Love, joy, and peace. And love is, number one, love is placed first because God is love. And also in 1 Corinthians 13, we are told the greatest of these is love. God is love. And love must be a foundational, fundamental, spiritual quality that must be manifested in our life. If we say God is our Heavenly Father and we are His children, just like we have children and our children bear our physical resemblance, don't we? People will say, my elder daughter looks like me, and then the younger one looks like Jemima. Well, of course, because we are their parents, they are our children, they bear our physical resemblance. Jemima looks like her mother, right? Some people say a spitting image. Well, that's only natural. If we are children of God, and God is our Heavenly Father, we are born again in God's family, then we must bear His spiritual, right, characteristics. Not physical resemblance, because God is not physical, God is spirit. But and we are born in the Spirit, then we must bear the spiritual resemblance with God. And one fundamental, right, characteristic is that of love, because God is love. So do we find love manifested in our lives? You know, in 1 John 4:16, the Apostle John, Apostle of Love, tells us this: and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Do we dwell in love? Do we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And not only love the Lord, but love our neighbor. And our neighbor includes our enemies, Jesus tells us. Love our neighbor as ourselves, right? And Jesus said in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. How can we know and tell that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? We must have this love, right, for the Lord and for one another. That ye are, that by this, Jesus says, shall all men know that ye are my disciples, right? Jesus himself is our supreme perfect example, for he gave his life for whom? For his friends? No, for his enemies. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still his enemies, he paid the penalty of sin, dying for us on the cross, and even prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, those who nailed him to the cross, so unjustly and so wickedly. We put him on the cross, and yet he did all these things for us. Well, in our lives, do we manifest that kind of love, divine love, that God has, that God possesses, that God himself has shown, and also requires us to have? Okay. So love is the first, and then the next one is joy. Do we find and experience this joy in our lives? This joy that is supernatural, not natural, earthly kind of joy, but a supernatural joy, a heavenly joy. We are very happy in the Lord. This happiness that we have, this joy that we have, no matter what circumstance that we find ourselves in, we may find ourselves in a very trying, difficult circumstance, but yet at the same time, we are not depressed or despondent, but we are joyful in the Lord because we know him, that he is in control of every circumstance, every event in our lives, good or bad. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this joy that we have in our hearts will prevent us from blaming the Lord, right? When things don't happen, all right, in our lives according to what we think or desire, or bad things happen to us, we will not blame the Lord. We know he is in control. He has a purpose. He has a reason. We know we are his children. He has a good plan for all his children. And even though bad things happen to us, we know that we are in God's good plan. So we don't blame the Lord. Right? We don't get angry with him. And this joy of the Lord will also cause us not to deny him, you see. So when we go through very trying times in our life, very, very difficult times, how do we react? How do we respond? If we find ourselves having this joy of the Lord in very, very difficult, trying circumstances, then that's a good thing. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And you are a child of God. Right? And you will never deny the Lord. Just like Job, who suffered so greatly, all the sores that he had, he was afflicted with by the devil from head to toe. And his wife told him, curse God and die. And what did Job say? Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You see, that kind of joy that will heal our soul. Joy is not only an emotion. Joy is also a virtue. It has power. Power to heal relationships, our relationship with God. And we'll never question him, we'll never doubt him, never deny him. Do we have such joy in our hearts? You know, just last week we heard the testimony of Reverend An Yohan, the blind Korean pastor. Well, he went through the valleys, right, of suffering, the valley of the shadow of death, as he said. And he says, well, when I was blind, and when I was blind without Christ, it was misery, utter misery. But now he's still blind, but now he knows the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he describe his life? He says, I'm the happiest man, right? Do you hear that? Well, that is precisely what it means here, the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord, you see. No matter what, do we see this in our life? This is one spiritual quality we must possess if we are truly believers. Then the next one, peace. Peace. A Christian will enjoy the peace of God. And this peace is a peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4:7 tells us, happy is the man who has made peace with God, not under his wrath, not under the curse of the law. Where sins are forgiven, declared righteous, on his way to heaven. And when we experience the peace of God, having been forgiven of our sins, we know how to make peace with others. We will easily also and quickly forgive others who have wronged us. Every Christian must be forgiving. There's one time someone told me, I'm a Christian, but I cannot forgive my parents. Don't know what the parents did to him, but he says, I cannot forgive them. Well, if there is no forgiveness in our hearts, then there is a big question mark whether we are truly saved. Because if we have experienced the forgiveness of God, we who don't deserve his grace and mercy, we who are supposed to be, you know, destined to eternal punishment because they've broken God's law, rebelled against a thrice holy God. We deserve, and yet God saved us, forgiven, has forgiven us of our sins, and then we can't forgive others. We don't know what is forgiveness. If we truly have experienced the forgiveness of God, there will be the spiritual quality. We will know how to forgive, and we'll be quick and ready even to forgive. All right? Do we experience all these things in our lives? And not only these things, these foundational graces, but also these interpersonal graces, these interpersonal spiritual qualities that follow. And what are they? Over here we have long-suffering, all right? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All these qualities have to do with our personal relationships, all right, with one another. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Long-suffering here is patient endurance. It is the super ability to withstand the wrongs done against us. Long-suffering, right? And then gentleness here is kindness. Kindness. When we are wronged, we return, all right, return the evil with good. Not evil with evil, but we return evil with good. That is gentleness here. So long-suffering is passive. Anything wrong, anything done against us, all right, we bear it, all right, we endure, we suffer long. Gentleness is positive, all right? When we are wronged against, we do good to those who have wronged us, returning good, right, to them who have done evil towards us. That's gentleness, kindness. And goodness here is moral excellence. And this is a virtue which compels us to do things in the straight and the right way, not crooked way, right? In the straight way. In an honest way. There's goodness here. Moral excellence. Then faith. Faith is faithfulness or loyalty. We are loyal. We are faithful to God. We are also loyal to those to whom we have made a commitment or we have made an agreement. We are people of our word, just like God is a God of His word. Our yes means yes, our no means no. Right? We are faithful, we are loyal. And meekness here is the idea of submissiveness. We are submissive, not aggressive. And then temperance is self-control, self-discipline, self-denial. Deny self, take up our cross, follow the Lord. That is temperance. And this would enable us to control our fleshly desires, right? And then to resist temptation. Temperance. Do we see all these qualities in our life? Do we display the fruit of the Spirit in our life? Now, please know that, you know, not all Christians manifest the fruit in all its fullness. We are still in the process. God is still working on us. But gradually we should find ourselves, all right, being more and more spiritual, more and more godly, Christ-like, mature in our faith. By and by we will see the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. But one thing must be clear and must be sure. There must be this fruiting in our life. If the gospel seed has been sown, it has taken root, it will grow and bear fruit. There must be this fruiting. We may not see the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit in our life right now. We're still in the process of being sanctified by the Lord, becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, which will not end until we see Jesus face to face, but we must see evidence of this fruiting in our life. Do we or do we not see this? If we see this, and this is one evidence, we know for sure that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we are Christians. We are born again. So it's something for you, all right, to do for yourself, to check on yourself. For me, to also check on myself. And God knows us as well. And so may the Lord help us not to manifest the characteristics of the flesh, but the graces of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And when we see this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we see ourselves fruiting for the Lord, then we can know for sure that we are truly believers and not children of the devil, but truly children of God. Let us pray. As we pray, we thank Thee, O Lord, that You have given to us Thy only begotten Son, and not only that, You have given to us Thy Holy Spirit. And we know that on our own we can do nothing, but we thank Thee that by the Holy Spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ we can fulfill what You intend for us in our life, to live for Thee even in this dark and sinful world. How we long for the day when Jesus would come back. Help us never to forget what the Lord had done for us, and help us ever to look forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So prepare our hearts now as we partake of the bread and the cup in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.